Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 3, we were talking about difference in the world's definition of peace and God's definition of peace. Have pencil, paper, and Bible ready as we continue that thought today. One of the great failures in our Christian colleges, and I'm talking about our fundamental Bible preaching, Bible believing Christian colleges, one of the great failures is to not teach at least a semester to all students on the holiness of God, and then at least a year for preacher students on the holiness of God. This doctrine, the neglected doctrine, is preeminent in speaking of our God and of the place that He's preparing. Oh, my friend that is listening today, why not, in your prayer time, ask God to help you to have a greater understanding of the holiness of God. Ask Him to help you just grow in the knowledge of the holy. Learn how to worship Him, as the Bible says, in the beauty of holiness. And so, He takes up this permanent dwelling in Jerusalem that He has made holy, Mount Zion. And it's interesting to note that the word holy is the same word that is used when they referred to the Holy of Holies in the temple, the place where God would dwell on the mercy seat, where God would be manifested, the holiest of all, the holiest part of the temple. Oh, the unrighteous rulers of the day that we live in who clamor to divide Israel and ignorantly call it the occupied land. It is the non-Jew who occupies that land today. And God will prove it on that day, as we saw in verses 14 through 16. A lot of people say we need to pray for world peace. Now, I'll be frank with you. That sounds like a good thing, but I have not really seen that in the Bible. I've seen that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are to pray for that our peace would be upon the place where we live, the city, the state, the places where we live, that our peace would be upon it. But you see, the world has a different definition of peace. It's not the peace that's in the heart. It's not the peace that's in the soul that's only there by the grace of God through faith in Him. So this other kind of peace, because the world is depraved and the god of this world, Satan, is not going to allow it, He does tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the place that you occupy, where you live. The holy will make it God's will, God's way. And understand this, God's will, God's way must always be carried out according to God's timing. What a shame that local churches and individual Christians are given over to the sinful practice and worldly vice with an attitude of, we must first attitude will always, it seems, appeal to the flesh first. And when we do, we lose sight of the all-holy God, just as Israel did in their day. And at that point, we lose the capacity to rejoice in the beauty of holiness. We soon create another Jesus who is not the holy Jesus of the Bible. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 says of our Jesus. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven. Now look, Jesus, in his life on earth, he ate with publicans and sinners. But a difference was always seen and evident. No one ever mistook Jesus for being one of the sinners and publicans. And for that matter, they did not consider he was them, that he was like them. Why not? Well, one reason is because he did not try to look like them, act like them, talk like them, or incorporate their carnality into his message and worship as if it were a good thing. Instead, in love, he forgave them and gave them the words of life that they too might have everlasting life. You see, there was a great, great difference. Jesus never sacrificed one bit of his holiness. And the high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ must become the supreme joy and desire of the heart of the Christian, and for that matter, the local church. We too must strive to live holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, that we too may be Christ-like. And we do it through our love and relationship with him. Oh yes, let's walk in holiness, seeking to be Christ-like. Christian. By the way, let me just say this. I believe there are people that are saved that are not Christians. I believe a majority of people are saved are not Christian. You say, what do you mean? Well, the word Christian means Christ-like. There are saved people that are not Christ-like. Their language, their activities, their filthy mind, and on we could go, tell us it's not Christ-like. And so, my friend, again, we need to understand there's a difference between just being saved and being a Christian. Christian is Christ-like. Now, if we don't do these things, as we've just seen here, then we'll be doomed when judgment begins at the house of God, as we read back in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. And it'll be just as we see those that are doomed here in the Valley of Decision. Israel was warned in Daniel's day, and they ignored it. And in AD 70, they felt the wrath of God as it was poured out. And for the 1900 years following, they were without a land. And with the millennium still not here, the Jew remains under threat. So let us not be as they were in that day. May we not allow the new evangelicalism, the emerging and contemporary churches, the selfie generation, and the theological philosophy and the technological philosophy that destroys our witness and makes it unholy and an unrepentant ministry in the last days when the world needs a solid witness, let that not be true of us that we have joined that crowd. And if we don't join that crowd, we seek to remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the cost may be a fiery trial. Now we see not only the holy mountain, but we see also the holy city in verse 17. He says, then shall Jerusalem be holy. Now it won't be until Jesus comes back. He judges the nations and he sets up Jerusalem. Today, people go there. They want to see Golgotha and the empty tomb. And I understand that. My goodness, I've been there now. I'm getting ready in November of this year, 2017. I'm getting ready to go to Israel November 6th through the 14th. Now, by the time you're hearing this, it may be too late to go with us. I don't know, because this will probably be heard in August, and my cutoff date is actually August the 1st, but I might be able to get a few in if you want to go. And I'm just saying that to say this is, if you're going to go, you need to get in contact with us today, because I don't even know if I can get you in, even if you make full payment, if I can get you in. So I've got to know that ASAP. But a lot of people, when they go to Israel, like to go to Golgotha, and then what is called Gordon's Calvary. You know, the Catholics, they have a place inside Jerusalem, inside the wall, that they call the tomb and the place where Jesus was crucified. And where I come from, we call that Baloney. But now, Gordon's may not be, Gordon's Calvary may not be it. Although the hill there, you can see that has that skull. And there's a garden right there by the hill. You can see Golgotha, you can see Calvary's Mountain, and just one side and look to your left, right there as you're standing there, the area where the garden tomb is. And you can understand them coming off that mountain and coming down with that body. But is that the actual tomb? We don't know. And I'm glad we don't know, or people will be worshiping the tomb. Now, scriptural evidence talks there in the book of Mark how the angel was sitting on the right side. Most of those tombs, they had a first room, was kind of like a welcome room, okay? Kind of like a foyer. And then if they didn't go on back into another room behind that, then where the bodies would be laying, then it might have a room to the left. It was unusual to have one to the right. Well, when this tomb was discovered, this room was to the right, and it just seemed to fit in with the scriptures. It was near the Golgotha, and there's a well of water there. It was a garden, which that was supposed to be a garden tomb. So all of it fits in, but you still don't know that for sure, and that's good because you don't want to worship the tomb. Besides, he only was there 3 days, so why would you worship the tomb that he only stayed in it 3 days?
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Bible plans, my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible.